Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Okay, so on Writer's Block today, we have author Jessica Treadway. She has a new book out right now called The Gretchen Question, a very unusual title. We will get to all that in just a moment. But first, I want to thank you, Jessica, for coming on and want to kind of get your background for anyone out there listening right now.
Sure, Jenny. Thanks for having me. My background is that I have been writing as long as I can remember, but not publishing that long. This is my sixth book, and for about 30 years, I've been teaching creative writing at Emerson College in Boston. So I get to have the great job of talking to other people about their stories while writing my own.
Yeah, I love that. You know, a lot of times people say, if you can't do, teach, but apparently you can do. So now you started, I was reading, you started out as a reporter, right? For UPI?
That's right. That's right. Yes, it was right out of college. And actually, I was talking to somebody about this last night. It's there's a lot of things in the news that are good fodder for stories quite often, fictional stories. And I have used them in the past, not for this particular book. But those two careers or those two occupations kind of dovetail nicely if you're interested in people and why they do what they do.
Yes, I think a lot of times reporters do have this, you know, secret desire to get into creative writing, and everyone seems to be working on their novel. Now, was that something that growing up, did you hope to be a writer or a reporter? I know reporting you do write, but it's a different type of writing. I mean, what was your, you went to college for that, I'm assuming, journalism?
Actually, my college degree was English with journalism as a minor, but I've wanted to be a fiction writer ever since I was a kid. And I've been very lucky in that, because I think it must be harder for people who are good at and interested in a lot of things that they could pursue when they go to college and get out of college. So I've been lucky in that that's the only thing I've wanted to do. It's not as straight a path as some people. You know, my sister's degrees, everything was laid out for her, the next challenge, you know, the next test that she had to take, and then you get the degree and then you get the job. But I've been lucky that it's worked out. And I always wanted to write fiction. So I'm very happy that I can do that.
Yeah, well, it's definitely more fun than writing the news these days, I can say.
Lately. Yeah.
No, but you know, writing is no easy task as far as being successful. I don't know about your parents and their reaction, but I know a lot of times parents, when you tell them you want to be, you know, you want to write novels, they kind of poo poo it and, oh, maybe you need to get at something that's a little more secure. I mean, was it easy for you to get published, or what was your path?
Well, I was extremely lucky to have parents who encouraged it. Mm-hmm. Not only didn't say try to get something more practical, but actively encouraged it. You know, my mother always read to us and always supported me and never said anything like my husband's parents did and like many other parents I know and say, you know, that's a nice hobby. But my experience of getting published, certainly in terms of books, it took a while. I was lucky to have my first story published right before I started grad school, but then it was another 6 or 7 years before that collection came out. So, you know, I was laboring under the delusion that I would come out of graduate school and support myself as a fiction writer.
Right.
So, and that was, that didn't happen. But back to your point about, you know, people teaching and writing, I do think it's probably, I'm guessing it's the, you know, the most populated occupation is teaching for people who write fiction, because it is so hard to support yourself that way. But the people that I know who do it, my colleagues and my friends, we love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, you started with, after reporting, with writing short stories.
Yes. That's what I did. And, you know, usually I think it's still the case that when you go to graduate writing programs, usually what people bring to workshop our stories. Maybe it's because they're easier, you know, to critique. At Emerson, we do have a novel workshop, and I'm guessing other places have incorporated that in. It's just maybe a little bulkier, a little bit more unwieldy to fit into the kind of neat workshop modules. But I've published two collections of short stories and four novels. I actually don't even think of myself as a novelist. I'm coming to you now just because more recently they have been novels, but I think of myself as a story writer first, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think writing a novel is so different. I think people think it's easy and then, you know, they start to get into it. And you can always think of like a good start to something, but then to have to keep up the momentum for, you know, 300 to 400 pages.
My friend Andre Debuse, who writes novels and also stories, but he likens it to, you know, you walk into a forest and you have no idea how big the forest is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just hope you're going to get out of it somehow. And I think the other thing that's hard about it, in addition to the volume of pages or words, is just the needing to make sense, not just logical sense or logistical sense, but, you know, emotional sense.
Yeah.
Of what's going on with the characters. So that makes it a little difficult. I'm not sure that writing stories is necessarily easier, though, mm-hmm. because, you know, you want the end of a story to really be quite punchy and make the story bigger than the sum of its parts, which is probably true of a novel too, except in a novel, I think you can kind of accrue meaning and significance and build up to it, maybe a quieter ending. So
yeah,
they're definitely different forms.
Yeah. And so, okay. So this novel that you, that was recently published, The Gretchen Question, the summary of it is interesting. I mean, I don't know if you can, without giving away anything, just kind of describe the plot.
Sure. I'll try to move out. It's a single day, and I can talk about why it's a single day if you want more later, but it's a single day in the life of my narrator, whose name is Roberta. And she's kind of, when the story opens, kind of forced to reevaluate whether she made the right decision many years ago not to tell her son anything about his biological father. The son is 18 now, and he's gone off to college, and he has stopped speaking to her because he's so angry about her keeping this information from him. You know, she told him a certain story about why she was a single mother and why he didn't have a father, and he bought it for many years. And then as he became a teenager, he started to intuit and to realize that there was more to the story. And, you know, understandably, he's very angry that she doesn't tell him more. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of the premise. And then there's also, she's having a crisis with her health. And so that leads up to what happens on the particular day that all the action happens. And she goes about her ordinary business that ends up being kind of not so ordinary after all.
Hmm. Wow. It's pretty complex. How do you come up with a premise like that? I mean, have you been bouncing this around in your head for years now?
You know, I hadn't. This was one that didn't come from the news. And actually, it sounds really silly, but, you know, the first line and the idea of the character, even though I didn't know her history, came to me on my way to run this very ordinary errand for a friend, the same errand that my narrator Roberta is asked to run, you know, kind of move the recycling bins and the garbage because mm-hmm. the family has gone off on vacation. And I had been rereading Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway. And that starts off with, you know, Mrs. Dalloway said she would buy the flowers herself. And so there was something of that cadence and the rhythm that was in my mind. And I kind of heard this sentence about, you know, it was a simple task that lay before me or her. I was to move the bins. And I still retain that as the first line. And because that was that's a very simple errand, and it was easy to do. And I think because I'm a fiction writer, I automatically, after I thought of that line, said to myself, how can I complicate this story? So the rest of the novel was basically just coming up with the character and what conflict she might be facing.
Where does the title come from?
Well, the title, The Gretchen Question, is the translation of the German Die Gretchenfrage, which I'm probably butchering in terms of pronunciation, but a German phrase that is derived from Faust. You know, Faust, the character, asks his Gretchen, or she asks him rather, are you a religious man? And he can't tell her the truth, which is that he's made a pact with the devil because he doesn't want her, his Gretchen, to know what kind of man he actually is. So he kind of hands him pause. So really what it means is any question that you yourself most don't want to be asked, because if you do answer it, it reveals more of yourself than you want to give away.
Mm. And that goes back to Roberta in this case.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
A couple of different questions that are going on in this novel, but that is where and then there's this character, her best friend's name is Gretty, Gretchen. And, yeah. and it's, So I tried not to make that coincidental. It actually is linked in the story, but that's how it's meant to all go together anyway.
Yeah. And you know, we do a lot of times see stories about mothers and daughters. I think most of the stories I've read that involve mothers involve their daughters. But this is one about mothers and their sons. Was there, you know, any reason in particular you decided to go that route?
Don't think so. I'm thinking back to my process of writing it. I think if anything, it was probably just the fact that even though there's no correlation between the friend that I was running the errand for, and the story, she has a son who's much younger, you know, isn't in this position, and it might've been in my head. I also have written a lot in the past myself about mothers and daughters. And so I think I was intrigued by this particular dynamic.
Right. Looking for something a little different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now are you already working on your next novel or what? I know you're still teaching. Well, when school's in session, there is school. What comes next as far as your novels?
Well, I'm putting together another collection, but I also am also working on another novel that I'm in the phase of not exactly knowing, having a premise that I like, but not knowing how it plays out or, you know, what the ultimate point will be of it. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, that's the most fun time, even though it can be frustrating because, you know, I'm asking myself those questions, but that can be fun because, you know, I don't know if play is exactly the right word, but that is a little bit what it feels like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and you mentioned that you teach at Emerson, and I know schools, you know, kind of, they shut down early in the spring. I'm assuming Emerson was part of that. So is this giving you more time to do this? What is writing in quarantine been like?
Well, it's funny. I have a feeling you're talking to other people and seeing people's posts about it, that it's different for different people. I had a period of time, like a lot of people, where it was very hard to concentrate on anything, including reading. Mm-hmm. But when it came, I have heard other people say this kind of more recently too, that when you can escape into something that you're writing, it's a wonder, it's a relief because even at any time, quarantine or non-quarantine, it is a process of immersing yourself, you know, not in somebody else's mind, but also in a different world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody who is writing, maybe they are, they're not people that I know, about quarantine and about COVID right now. And I've heard people say they absolutely don't want to write or read about it now. It's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of us are you know, feeling grateful that we can jump into some other worlds.
Escape. Well, and I think writers are essential workers because just providing that, you know, that escape from the daily grind of what's been happening for the past several months. Right. I mean, just to escape into I've read several books during quarantine that I might not have normally, but just, you know, you can only watch so much TV.
That's true. I'm running out of them myself.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, I wish you the best of luck. And you're outside of Boston, correct?
Yeah, in Lexington.
Close. And so the writing community, you know, here in Portland in the Northwest is so strong. I would assume there's a similar community there of writers.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very much so. Yep. Yeah. We have a great, there's something called Grub Street, which is a center, you know, writing center that holds a lot of different classes. I'm not affiliated with it myself, but I know people who are, and a lot of people, you know, who might not have ever written before, take classes there. But a lot of us do see each other at readings or virtual readings these days.
Yeah.
We see the name pop up in the little square. So we know we're there.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and people can find the Gretchen Question. It sounds like pretty much anywhere you can find books, right?
So yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, Jessica Treadway, author of The Gretchen Question, thank you so much for coming on Writer's Block and telling us a little bit about the premise and also your background. It's always interesting to hear how writers came to be.
Thank you very much, Jenny. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home Coin Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the Coin podcasts in one place. The brand new Coin Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search Coin, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.